Welcome to Hey YA Extra Credit. Every other week opposite the main Hey YA podcast, we'll bring you a short form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Erica Ezzafetti. And I wanted today to talk about some general books I'm reading. Like, there's not a central theme to them. It's more so just new books that I've been reading. I feel like I don't speak about new releases a lot, and I think there's definitely more room to talk about them, especially because, honey, books are coming out every week, literally every week, nonstop. So while the themed episodes are fun and good, and I will continue to do them, of course, we will continue to do them for the main podcast end as well, I thought, like, I have so many shiny new covers here that have been sent to me from publishers recently, and I thought, like, you know, let's get into a few. So I'm going to do that, but first, let's hear from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have seven great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number six. So if he is to have seven great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. This is one I'm actually super excited about. I liked Leigh Bardugo's other adult fantasy books, and so I'm really looking forward to this one. It's set in the Spanish Golden Age during a time of high stakes political intrigue and glittering wealth. It follows Luzia, a servant in the household of an impoverished Spanish nobleman who reveals a talent for little miracles. Her social climbing mistress demands Luzia use her gifts to win over Madrid's most powerful players, but what begins as simple amusement takes a dangerous turn. Luzia will need to use every bit of her wit and will to survive, even the help of Guillén Santángel, an immortal familiar whose own secrets could prove deadly for them both. So The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo is on sale now. And like I said, it's a must-read of the season. It's perfect for anyone who loves history, a little bit of magic, a lot of danger. You can get your copy now at leighbardugothefamiliar.com. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, for sponsoring this episode. Okay, so the first new book I have is Freshman Year by Sarah Mai. So in this graphic novel, the author uses her own experiences to color the narrative of an 18-year-old Wisconsin girl's freshman year of college. So it opens up with Sarah preparing to start college. Her and her friends talk about the schools they were invited to, and the ones they ultimately accepted. And one friend is kind of shady about Sarah going to a Minnesota school because there's always one, I guess, right? And like when we're young, speaking from experience, when we're young, we kind of let certain comments go, but there's always a hater. Haters be hating, you know what I mean? So anyway, the narrative then goes into her working her summer job and finally her starting school. And oh my God, she starts the academic year off like so many of us have in the past. And again, I'm speaking from my own experience here. You know, where you're like, okay, this is a new year. I'm so excited for this new beginning. I want to meet new people. I want to impress my professors. I want to just get that much closer to becoming a quote unquote real adult. But of course, we know how these kind of good intentions go. She wrestles with things like guilt and shame for her work ethic, especially compared to other students. Her love life isn't going quite how she'd hoped. And there's another aspect that I was happy to see explored, which was how much freedom you suddenly have in college when you dorm away from home compared to what you just came from, which was, for a lot of people, not everyone, everyone has different journeys, of course, but for people who went straight from high school to undergraduate college, it's like you go from this, you know, being in your parents' or guardians' houses and, you know, having those rules apply to you, going to school, to high school where things are structured. And if you're missing assignments or anything like that, like the teacher has a conversation with your parents and stuff like that. So you go from that to this lack of structure in college, this absolute freedom. I feel like there should be an in-between, like where you get a little bit of the freedom and you can kind of see how it feels and how to navigate it. But that's a very real thing. So I like that she explores that here. And with that said, this is such a realistic look at the whole process of going to college. And I think it's the perfect gift to someone who is starting college because, again, it shows how even if you are or you were that straight A student in high school, college is an entirely different ballgame, not just because of the academics, but because of the academics, right? But also because of the other social aspects. Now, this is a graphic novel, so I want to comment on the art, of course. The art style is nice. I am not... I'm not very well versed in art terminology, but I guess it's kind of the style I see with a lot of contemporary graphic novels. The color palette is black, white, and this grayish blue. It's just nice. I like the art. I recommend, again, it's Freshman Year by Sarah May. So next up, I have Six Truths and a Lie by Reem Shikari. I feel like I don't talk about thrillers much on here, so let me start to remedy that with this book. So this book, it starts you off with the knowledge that six Muslim students are arrested because of an explosion that happens during a 4th of July celebration. And with each chapter, we get to know Samia, Nazreen, Kays, Abdullahi, Musta, and Zamzam. Now, none of them know each other before they're arrested, so none of them have any loyalty to each other, so keep that in mind. And as the book progresses, we learn that Nazreen, who is the only Pakistani-American at her Catholic school, she's there, and then we learn about the Palestinian-American Kays, who has all the characteristics of an F-boy, as well as a Stanford scholarship, okay? Then there's Samia, a Syrian-American girl who is trying to be an influencer. Musda, an immigrant from Afghanistan who has some secrets. Zamzam, who is Black American and wants to be a doctor. And Abdullahi, a Sudanese-American teen who is training to be an EMT. So some of them are in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some are in love. And while we're told point blank in the beginning of the book to believe them, that's like the last sentence in the prologue. It simply just says, believe them. So we're told to believe them in the beginning of the book. But they all have something to hide and their futures are at stake, right? So it's like, okay, like, should we believe them? Is that like, you know, untrustworthy narration? You gotta read to find out, okay? So that brings me to my next point. It's clear that there is some discrimination going on, and since they don't owe each other anything, some of their family members and attorneys kind of suggest, kind of hint at the fact that maybe they should implicate each other. But there is also the question of whether it would be better to stand together and fight the charges for everyone's sake. So there are many parts of this that are so realistic and I'm sure ring true for many Muslim American teens. And I love the interiority of the characters and how their own dreams and motivations and goals are explored. Also, as with any good thriller, the twist is twisting, okay? Like, you may not see it coming, just saying. So the last book I have is Snow Globe by So-Young Park, translated by Young Min Lee Comfort. So first off, the copy I have of this is beautiful. It's got this pretty cover with an image of cracked ice over a flower. Then the inside has this brilliant and intricate metallic pink and black design. I think it'd make a great gift for the dystopian lover in your life, is all I'm saying. And I did not mean to make this a gift-giving episode. It's just what's coming to me. Like, I'm inspired to give these books to certain people who I'm thinking of, who I know. So I'm just relaying that to you. Okay. So now for the story. As I mentioned, it is a dystopian novel that gives me Hunger Games tease a bit, and you will see why in a second. It takes place in a world where it is constantly winter, except for a very lucky here is in air quotes, a very lucky subset of the population who lives in the ironically titled city of Snow Globe. I say ironically titled because Snow Globe is the last place on Earth that has warmth. Now, its warmth is maintained by non-Snow Globe residents who have to trek through the harsh cold every day to power plants that keep the city warm. And so the non-Snow Globers want to be residents of the city, not just because of the warmth, which is obviously, that's a given, but also because the residents are famous. They're able to live in the city because their lives are broadcasted outside the city to people for entertainment and distraction, as you probably already imagined, distraction from the reality of life, the harsh realities of life, kind of like an ancient Roman bread and circuses type vibe, right? So here we enter the life of Chobam, who, like many others, counts the minutes till she's able to watch her favorite Snow Globe shows. Her all-time favorite at the moment is called Go Around. It stars Go Hayiri, which is where it gets its name from. Well, one day Go dies, and Chobam is chosen to take her place because she looks just like her, and, like, finally she has access to this dream life. She's watched the shows and know how life is in Snow Globe from them, or so you would think, because no, actually, it's a dystopian, like I said, and the reality is way different. For one, what happened to Go? What happened to the star of the show? What happened to her, really? And for that matter, what happens to people in Snow Globe when they are deemed to be no longer useful? And then back to the point of Go, what is going on? There's something weird going on with her family dynamics, okay? What's going on with Go's family? What's going on with them for real? Turns out there are a lot of terrible secrets within the city limits and a power imbalance that can literally be the difference between life and death. I will leave you to find out just where these secrets lie, who, like, what's going on with people, who's doing what to whom, and how that reality that is shown on TVs outside of Snow Globe, how different that is from the actuality of the situation. So again, that is Snow Globe by So-Young Park, translated by Jungmin Lee Comfort. And that is all I have for you today. I'm having fun with these new books. I love new books. It's just like getting them in the mail is great. When I get them from publishers and when I buy them myself, it's always a good time. Also, of course, you can get these from the library. They are interesting, thought-provoking books, and I am happy to have been able to share them with you today. So thanks so much for tuning in today, as well as our sponsor for making the day show possible. You can follow me on Twitter at @Erica_EZE_. Big shout out to Caitlin Brame, our audio editor, for making me sound fabulous. Thank you so much, girl. We'll see you next week on the main podcast. Until next week, happy reading.